You're listening to a Who Hurt You Actual Play production. From the Actual Play studio, telling sad stories for sad people. We tell stories that make you cry, make you angry, and make you think about the world around us. Welcome to Echoes of an Outlaw, our mini-series where we play orbital blues and get sad whilst doing it. A tale of drifters and dreamers, of outlaws with nowhere left to run, and the echoes of the past they refuse to let go of. This series deals with themes of heartbreak, loss, betrayal, and reconciliation. Content warnings include guns, emotional abuse, threats, drug use, smoking, manipulation, and sudden character death. Please take care when listening. Valentine, when you think back on that night at the loading bay, what moments stand out to you the most?
I think about, you know, just before things got started, the mood in the air, the tension. You know, we all knew each other, but none of us could have guessed what was about to unfold. So I think I just remember the vastness of it all, of space, and thinking about how uncertain everything was.
And from everything I know about you, how did it feel to carry out a job with so much personal stake involved? This was something very dear and important to you. How did that feel?
I mean, in a way, it felt hopeful because, you know, it could have been the last one, in a sense. You know, I feel like every job is personal. I wouldn't do them if I didn't care. I wouldn't be here if I didn't care. So that's not necessarily something new, but the hope was different this time.
Why? Why? What was different about the hope this time?
I think I've always thought that the next job would be the last one. But this time it felt like it was really possible. Like if I just pushed myself a little bit farther, if I just made sure all the I's were dotted and all the T's were crossed, then I could get away.
Is that because of the message that he sent you?
Yeah, I guess I forgot I told you about that. Yeah, the message. I don't mean this to sound like I'm bragging, because I'm not, but I've received a lot of love letters in my time. I attract the kind of passionate types that would do such a thing, but there was something different in the way he wrote this one. I mean, it was shorter than the rest, less flowery language, and that last sentence just rings in my mind, you know? We're nearly done. We're nearly done.
We flash back. You're sitting at a small round booth in a flashy casino. It's loud. There's the sounds of rattling machines as people try and try and try and win just one more, and then maybe they'll be out. Servers wander, passing out drinks. People scream in anguish as they realise they've thrown away all their credits. But none of that matters to you because you're looking at the man that's sitting across from you at the table. He's handsome. He's, say, mid-30s, wearing a well-fitted suit. And normally you would expect a suit like this to have a tie done up, but no tie, popped collar, buttons down to the middle of the chest. Oscar looks across to you. Well, aren't you a sight for sore eyes?
You know, I've always heard about this place, but wasn't sure we'd ever make it here. But I suppose you're much more comfortable in these circles than I am.
Oh, no, this is horrible. I feel like so out of my depths.
Then like, why are we here?
Well, we said we'd come here one day, and...
I do appreciate that. You always tend to follow through on your word, so... That's something I admire about you a lot.
What do you really want, Val? Not out of this situation. What is it you really want?
I think, you know, the world that we're in is so chaotic, so cluttered with other people's mess. I think I'd like some space just for us, you know, to get away from all of this for good.
Away, I mean, from this, like, where would we go? Well, there's nowhere we could go.
Well, that's where I'd want to go. Somewhere we can't even think of right now. Somewhere no one will ever think to find us. Just somewhere different, somewhere new. Somewhere safe.
Maybe one day we could. Yeah, it's a big dream though. And yeah. Like, I can't leave my dad behind. You know, he'd probably just search for us until the ends of the galaxy.
Well, then let him search. We can keep running.
Okay, deal. Well, deal for you. I want to make you my wife.
What? I mean... Yeah, that would be great, but what's the other half of the deal?
We cut back to the office. You've told me this story quite a few times, Valentine, but the pieces never seem to add up. Is that really what happened in that conversation in the casino?
Yeah, I mean, he fucking proposed. Yeah, that's what happened.
But, like, you've always told me it was unrequited. Why would that happen?
I guess I never figured that out. I mean, I know I'm good at what I do, right? So it's helpful to have someone like me on side. But even I don't hate myself to think that's all there is to it. I don't hate myself enough to think that's it. So... I don't really know.
Okay, enough about Oscar for now. What? How do you feel about the choices you made during the heist? It sounds like everything went to shit, and you're like really good at what you do, but why did it end up the way it did?
I mean, I'm not a miracle worker. Whole deck of cards was stacked against us, and we were an odd kind of crew, not the kind of crew you'd usually put together, but I think maybe, you know, aside from all that, I was so focused on the idea of getting out that I forgot how deep I was in. I think there were times where I hadn't paid attention to stuff that would usually, you know, catch my eye. I think I was less good at my job than I usually am. I won't say bad, you know, but I could have been better.
And how did you feel when Baron questioned your loyalty? Like, how did you respond?
There are a lot of things that I question about myself. There are a lot of things that I'll let other people question about me, but my loyalty never wavers. Never. And that Baron could never understand what it is to be in the situation that I'm in, what it is to be in love. I don't know if he'll ever understand that. So, yeah, I was pissed, but in a sense, I think I felt a sense of pity as well, because I get to experience something beautiful that not everyone else understands.
Now, I know that as someone who's meant to be here listening, and I guess offering advice as part of my role, I just want to say just personally how much I admire you, Valentine. You've come through a lot, and you're still standing, and I don't know how to say this. The boss passed a message on and thought that this was perhaps the safest place to let you know. Oscar died.
I don't understand.
He got himself into the wrong place at the wrong time, and I don't know why they made me. This is not my. Why am I telling you this? This is about. I meant.
I don't believe you. I just don't believe you.
I promise you, I'm telling you the truth. And Gianluca wanted me to make sure that you knew how much he, Gianluca, appreciated everything that you did for Oscar.
I don't care. I don't care about him. He's not, because we're leaving together. So I don't care. Can I go?
You're welcome to leave whenever you want. But you're welcome to come back whenever you need.
I'll call them. Just give me a moment.
Our story begins as the crew lands at the dock in One Helix City. They know the drill, hit hard, get the goods and get the fuck out of Dodge. They've pulled off enough jobs to recognise the familiar tension thickening the air inside the cockpit, each heartbeat sinking with the quiet rumble of their descent. The boss, Gianluca De Rosa, has tasked them with retrieving a data core from the loading bay. The contents of the data core? Not your fucking business, and no one dares ask. Valentine sits at the console, fingers hovering over the ship's controls, her mind miles away. She tells herself it's just another job. Just another score. But in the back of her mind, Oscar's words are still there, whispering louder than the roar of the engine. She catches a glimpse of her reflection in the dim cockpit window and wonders if she can keep her heart steady long enough to finish this job. Beside her, Jackie fidgets, glancing eagerly at the loading bay below. For her, this is the thrill of the lifetime she's always dreamed about, the glamour of being an outlaw, a chance to prove she's more than the wide-eyed new recruit. Every second that passes feels like it's meant for her, a stage set for her own daring act. And Baron? Well, Baron's eyes are sharp, narrowed, taking it all in with the cold precision of someone who's walked this line for too long. He feels the weight of every job, but he's built to bear it. This isn't a thrill for him. It's a survival game, one he intends to win at any cost. To him, Valentine's distracted glances, Jackie's excitement, these are just liabilities. He's got one objective: get in, get the core, and get out. Anything else is just noise.
loading bay grows larger in the viewport, rough edges outlined in dirty lights, guarded and grimy under the casino's glitzy glow. They know the plan. They know the risks. What they don't know is what it'll take from each of them to make it out alive. So players, who leaves the ship first?
Well, I think probably Jackie is the most excitable one here. So is probably going to be the one that's like sort of up and out her seat immediately. As we kind of descended, she definitely made something of a flourish of the way she so easily kind of landed the ship in this very graceful descent. She wanted people to notice, even though it's just kind of like, it's just landing. It's not that big a deal. But even then, she was showing off a little bit, I think, in the way that she kind of landed it. And she jumps out of her seat, opens the doors. She says, right, how we feeling? Good? Yeah, good.
That landing was a little bumpy, but feeling fine.
Her face just drops. No, I don't think it was. Very funny.
It was fine, Jackie. It was fine.
We can agree on fine.
Fine. Good. Yeah. All right, fine. Yeah, fine. 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 and slightly disgruntled, but still determined to make the best of it. She kind of like gestures to the door and, well, experts, after you.
Don't mind if I do. And I think Valentine and Baron kind of tried to go through the door at the same time. Just bump, and there's like a little power struggle. And eventually...
A little bumpy, but...
I think Valentine's like, after you.
Yeah. One of us has to go first, or it's not efficient.
And what does the scene look like as you step out of the ship? You're looking towards a flashing casino, but what do we see? What do your eyes see?
I think for Jackie, it's probably like the glamour of the place. She's very used to... She's seen casinos and sort of like betting shops and things like that, but I think... Her roots are a little dirtier. Everything's a little grimier. It's not from like the big kind of like richer side of things. So all these big flashing neon lights and this very sort of like the way the building has been constructed out of these very expensive metals, and everything looks very city. She's a country girl walking into a city for possibly, judging by her reaction, one of the first times. And she definitely is not good at hiding it. She's kind of looking around, absolutely stunned by how many people there are, how loud everything is, how bright everything is, and just how much this looks exactly how she envisioned it to look.
For a moment, Baron can't see anything as he lights an aqua blue smoking device of some sort in front of his eyes. And then he sees everything that his pilot would not. The young man to the left is obviously here to try to jack someone. They're watching everyone, looking at how large they are. One of those two guards on the right has a bad knee, which would be very easy to deal with if needed. And he's just scanning everyone for strengths and weaknesses. Probably just like the casino is, to be honest.
Could you make me an observation roll then, please? Just roll 2d6 modifiers.
That is 9.
A 9 is a success. A success, 8 and above. So you are scanning around for any signs of weakness. You are here to retrieve a data core from the loading bay. So the casino is not really your target. It's not really where you're heading. But with a 9, you see walking past you an elderly security guard. And he has a badge on him that will lead you to the Steel Claw loading bay. He clearly works there. So you've noticed someone quite clearly that you could try to interact with if you wanted to go that route.
Valentine, you see that one?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
What? What? Huh? What are we looking at?
Valentine just, like, gently nudges Jackie with her shoulder towards the person with the badge, as in to look.
Jackie makes a probably way too obvious attempt at not looking at that person, but totally looking at that person. Like that one with the grey hair, or that one with the... Which one?
The grey hair.
The grey hair, got it. Cool, yeah. Clocked him, yep. What about him?
The badge, Jackie. I shouldn't have to say any of this out loud.
At that point, you all hear a voice in your ears, the intercom. This is Everdell, the member of your team who remains on the ship, says,
"All clear, keep heading in that direction. Try not to say things out loud, Jackie, just in case. We don't want anyone to catch on to what you may be trying to do."
Yeah, cool, yeah. I was trying a little bit like reverse psychology in it, but it's fine, yeah, it's cool, yeah.
I am going to say in that moment that you have tried to look cool and you've tried to like make yourself feel and others feel like you know what you're doing. Yeah. You fail to prove your superiority in that moment. Mm-hmm. Can mm-hmm. you
oh, I feel like I've done that quite a lot.
One blues, please. folks, if you've never played Orbital Blues before, one thing that our characters can accrue is blues or sadness. We're just going to get really sad. Valentine, you already have one from that session that we did earlier, because
yeah.
That got really sad. But you hear Everdell say that...
Try not to say things out loud. Let's try to keep it all on the down low. This is quite a sensitive mission you're all on.
What do you think, Valentine? Smooth words or fast hands?
I think smooth words for now, but keep hands on deck.
Should we let the new kid try this one?
I said smooth words. I don't think we should.
Just making a joke.
Just, I think Jackie has probably gone. I feel like the whole journey, Jackie was an utter chatterbox. really telling you all. So Jackie likes to fill silences. I get the feeling that Baron is a silent, only talks when it's efficient. And Valentine probably only talks when she has someone that she thinks is worthwhile talking to. Jackie's here to impress. So Jackie would have been filling you all in on all the stories from like Victor's crew, which is sort of where she's come from and where John Luther kind of got her from. This is the quietest that you've seen Jackie up until this point. I think that she kind of tried to smooth it out, but she's now sort of faded in the background and is maybe purposefully not listening to your conversation at this point because she gets the feeling that it's probably going to be a little derogatory and she doesn't want to hear that. That's going to hurt. So
we flash back to the journey in on the ship. What are you saying, Jackie, to everybody about your accomplishments and Victor?
Well, you know, I've been wanting to work with you for so long. It's been great. Victor's been so great and so much about all of you. Well, not all of you. I mean, some of you, you know, Baron, I haven't hardly heard anything good about you. But Victor says that that's a good sign. That means that you're like, you know, in there and you know what you're doing. And like, anyway, I also know what I'm doing. So it's great to finally be with people that are at my level, you know, because Well, Victor says I have a lot of talent, and I don't know if you, are you big on the illegal racing circuit? I don't know if we're going to a casino. Do you bet? Do you? Because you probably heard of me if you do.
No.
We're going to a docking station.
Yeah, but there's a casino next to it, right? And but, and mm-hmm. You know, it's crime and stuff. That's the stuff, right? So like, betting. It's all. You know, maybe, isn't it? This is what we do.
Baron resists the urge to make them prove they're not wearing a wire after they say crime, you know. But he's just gonna keep that one in the back of his mind for later.
Anyway, that's what I'm kind of about. I'm not really normally the person that kind of goes in. I'm normally, you know, waiting in the shuttle, ready to go. I'm the getaway car, so you can probably tell I'm a little bit nervous, but I'm ready. I'm so ready for this. I'm so ready.
Jackie, have you ever felt what it's like to be the most dangerous person in the room?
Sure. Yeah. On the track, I'm the most dangerous driver on the track.
When you're alone in the room?
No, when everyone is in the room. You're funny. I like you. Yeah.
Maybe one day we'll find out.
You hear Everdell come over the intercom, say,
coming in for landing shortly. Everyone brace yourselves.
And Jackie, I'm going to give you blues there for listing your accomplishments. And also just really sad that everybody else, they just put you down. And we'll come back to the regular moment as you're deciding whether to go words or fast or however you're planning it.
I imagine Valentine and Baron have a little more of a working relationship and kind of don't have to say a lot of the things. So if this works with our dynamic, I think Baron would sort of just nod to the old man and then go to basically be in a spot where he could watch to make sure there was no one approaching from left or right while they talked or did whatever they were doing.
Okay, nice.
Okay. So you can lean against that chain link fence, just watching.
I will, in a kind of flash of feeling like, if this is the last one, then they're going to need to train more to carry on after I'm gone, because, well, I'm not easy to replace. And I think because of that thought that has crossed my mind, I'm going to bring Jackie with me to have this conversation.
Great idea. Just great. Yeah. Just love it.
Hello, sir. I've got a delivery in the loading.
As you start to talk, you get like a buzzing in your pocket. On your messaging device.
Mm-hmm. Sorry. I turn around. I do walk away. Do I want to reveal? Yeah, I take the call.
Okay. Jackie, you're left with the old man on your own as Valentine takes the call. And what it is an audio message, and you recognize this voice. And like,
Val, I heard about the job. Don't let them push you too hard. Remember, you don't everything. If you get the chance, bring the core to me first. We'll keep it safe together.
I think she's... Oh, yeah. No, I'm not going to say anything back because I'm on the job.
And whilst this is going through, Jackie, you're with the old man.
It's for me, you are. All right. Jackie's just sort of like listening, ready to learn, ready to kind of absorb as much information as possible. Valentine gets about halfway through a sentence and then just walks off. And she's like, oh, she's gone. Right. Hey, yeah. What she was about to say was we have something that I think that needs to be unloaded. Sorry, I'm new.
Are you on the list? Is your name on the list?
Should be. Yeah.
What's the name I'm looking for? And he will start to just rifle through.
Okay. can I attempt to see if I catch a name on the list that I can see? Yeah?
Yeah, of course. Make me a savvy roll. So that'll be 2d6 plus your stat for savvy.
Yeah. Oh, heck yeah. That is a 6 plus 3 plus 2. That's
11. An 11. Yeah, that is absolutely a success. You managed to see through and see that there's the name McCormick.
It should be under McCormick, I think. Yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely. Do you have any identification?
On the ship.
Okay. But I need to see some identification before. Yeah, you can't just wander up and say, I'm McCormick, but
sorry,
I don't have my ID.
I totally get that. Like I said, I'm new. I'm just trying to impress my boss. That's all.
Is that your boss? Who just walked away and left you here?
Yeah, it is. Yeah, a bit awkward, yeah.
That was a bit odd. They just started talking and like, wait a minute.
Sorry, I'm really sorry about that. Yeah, it's very unprofessional, actually. And I'm going to give like a proper side eye to where Valentine is over. This is literally my first day.
Right. So you know, if you want in, you will need identification to tell me that you are McCormick.
Cool.
Or I can't let you through. I'm really sorry. Well, that is the way that things are, but you're on the list until you're here.
Right. Okay. Sorry. That badge that he's wearing. I'm not talking to him. I'm asking you.
Yeah.
To clarify. That badge. Is it just like a little like a company badge, or is it like a like an ID or like a card that might be used to?
Oh, this would absolutely be like a scanning badge. Like
scanning.
Like,
okay.
Yeah.
As I'm having this conversation, I am going to try and swipe that, yeah.
Okay, absolutely. How do you plan to try and do this?
I think my go-to is, you know, I'm trying to be very, like, upfront. I'm telling as many truths as possible in this situation. It is my first day. So I think I'm giving that real sense that I'm a very, like, slightly nervous person that doesn't really know what they're doing and maybe doesn't understand perhaps some social boundaries as well, because I'm so nervous. I'm going to go in, I'm going to be like, look, you've been such a help. I'm going to go lean right in. I'm going to give the good old like pat on the chest. I say, you've got a little, sorry, I'm a neat freak. I'm so sorry. And just kind of try and rearrange and ruffle. And I go, yeah, I'll get that ID for you. Apologies.
Okay, before I get you to roll, and before I decide how you're going to roll,
yep.
Baron, you'll be watching this. Are you doing anything in this moment?
I message Everdale. I'm like, I don't think we're going to need that fake ID and name. It looks like the kid's on it.
You get a message back then.
Huh. Well, I wasn't expecting that. That's some impressive work.
Yeah, I've got the ID in my pocket. I'm just watching him work right now.
Incredible.
Oh. So, you have to learn the hard way, right? Good job.
Yeah, I'll talk to you once it's safe.
Can you roll against the odds, please? Jackie.
Yes, against the odds. So then that means I roll 3 and I discount the highest one.
The
is
highest
that correct?
One, yes.
Yes. And what am I rolling exactly?
So this would be, I would say, savvy again, please.
Got it. Okay, so that's... cool. I rolled a 6, a 5, and a 1. So I discount the 6.
You got 6 plus your savvy.
And my savvy is plus 2, so 7.
Yeah, so that is going to be...
Is that right? Wait, did I...
It's 8.
5? 6 plus 2? Did you did, oh, you did 5, because you dropped highest.
5 plus 1 is 6, plus 2 is 8.
Yes, math, absolutely. Yeah.
As soon as I see that, that doesn't sound right.
So, yeah, absolutely. In this moment, that is a success. You're able to, like try and ruffle against like this man's like kind of overalls that he's wearing, and are able to try and take away a badge, and then realize that actually the badge is gone.
Okay, I see that the badge is gone. I glance around to see if it's dropped on the floor as I'm pulling away, and say, yeah, let me just speak with my boss, and we'll get back to you ASAP. Cool. Sorry about the inconvenience.
No, it's okay. Yeah. Just first day on the job. You don't need to be so handsy.
Yeah, we're all right. Yeah. Okay. Cool.
Valentine, you got that call. You turn back to see that Jackie is walking away triumphantly from the old man.
How Jackie are you feeling? Is not going to Baron, by the way. Mm-hmm. Is going to, like, is not even looking at Baron, just in case Baron wants to pretend to not be part of our group.
Okay.
That's so good.
So, Rachel, how is Valentine feeling?
Yes. Valentine is giddy. I mean, she's not really doing the job for the big boss anyway, so she'll 100% be looking to divert the call to Oscar before the end of the mission. And definitely hearing those words that, you know, we're nearly done is exactly what she wants to hear. It's the exact kind of thing that would make her do whatever it takes to get out.
You come back and you see that coming out of the casino is a newly wed couple.
Oh.
Looking extremely happy in this moment.
I think it, like, you know, it's like she's manifesting, she's setting her intention. She, like, has a kind of, you know, it's a smile, but it's one of those smiles you feel more than shows on the outside. It's just like she takes a breath in and everything's like, it's all coming together. And she kind of forgets everything else and turns around and sees Jackie and it's like, right, should we talk to that guy then? I think she's kind of lost track of, like, how long she's been staring at the couple or any of those things. She's just feeling great.
Okay. Before we come back to Jackie, there is a moment as you're looking at this couple where we flash back to another moment. And
oh, God.
You are in a very lavish mansion alongside other members of your crew, members of other crews you don't regularly work with, and at the top of the stairs is Gianluca, the big boss, and he is standing with a champagne flute and he's got a huge smile on his face. And just, like, turns to everyone, says, "What a day it is! What a delight it is when you have the opportunity to welcome someone new to the family. My eldest has found someone, and could not be more delighted to welcome Stephanie to the family." And you see walking up, there is Oscar and another woman. And they're in wedding regalia. This is Oscar's wedding day.
I think Valentine is smiling because she knows she would never be the one that he would take home to his parents, and that's fine because eventually they will end up together and it won't be here, so nothing that happens here really matters. This is all part of the plan to her, so I think she's cheersing along with the rest of them.
You mingle
you have a nice time, you keep a brave face, you know that this isn't the life that was meant for you, and it's a nice evening. Until you get a tap on the shoulder, and as you turn round, you see the bride.
Just drops the champagne fruit in shock. In just fuck.
Well, aren't you just something?
Yeah, congrats, Stephanie. You know, it's great, isn't it?
Well, you know, better women won.
Won the battle, yes, I suppose.
He has to make the choice, you know, the one that works best for the family. And this was definitely the choice that worked best for the family.
Well, winning over the family is definitely the battle, but we'll see who wins the war. You look great. You look so much better than I ever thought you could look, actually. I just never imagined you like this, that's all.
Her smile stays, gets wider, but you watch as her eyes widen. She leans in and just says, I'll slice your fucking throat.
I'd love to see you try.
We move a few hours into the party. You're outside alone smoking. And you hear another voice say, well, aren't you a sight for sore eyes?
I think Valentine looks over her shoulder to Oscar and her face is just a mess. She's been absolutely crying. It's hit her that maybe it's not just, you know, part of the plan. I don't even think she knows what to say to him at this point.
It was a nice day, wasn't it? We put on a good party.
Yeah. As long as, you know, that was all it is. I mean, you know, this is just one day, right? That's what we've said. It's just one day, but we've still got the rest of our lives.
Well, I mean, I guess, sure. But, you know, the family comes first, right? And
yeah, and we wouldn't want to shock anybody. You know, I know that I will never be a part of this family, but, you know, at some point we get to make our own.
Yeah. I've been thinking maybe it's worthwhile you maybe looking for a family of your own.
Well, no, I meant we would start.
I know what you meant. I know what you meant. I'm not an idiot, Valentine.
Oh. This wasn't part of the plan.
Plans change. People change.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Anyway, I've had probably too much champagne. I don't know what I'm saying.
Yeah, you're not yourself.
No, I'm exactly who I've always been. I'm maybe just saying things out loud for the first time.
I don't want to argue with you like this. It's just not right.
Yeah, I imagine you've got a job tomorrow, so best not.
Yeah, I do.
Well, good luck with it.
Thanks.
Enjoy the free champagne.
Yeah, I will, but look, I know I've always kind of got a job on, but I think this one might be a big one. After that, I might be more free, because I know that that's been...
How many times have you said that it's the big one and that'll be it and you'll be more free? There's only so much time that people can wait.
Yeah.
Stephanie didn't make me wait.
Stephanie doesn't have it in her to wait. Whereas I have waited and I would continue to wait. That I'm happy to wait.
Stephanie knows what she wants. And she grabs it.
Right, well, that's good for her, but, you know, if everyone just went around grabbing what they thought was theirs, well then, this today wouldn't have happened.
Take a look around and look at the family you're in. We'd get what we want by grabbing it, and taking it, and making it ours. That's well, the then, business you're in, that's the family that you wanted to be in, or apparently didn't want to be in, but...
Well then... Fuck it, let's go. I'll forget the job tomorrow. We'll just go.
Have a nice night.
Yeah, you too.
Rachel, can I get you to make me a grit roll, please? 2d6 plus sugar.
Okay, that is an 8. And then grit is my strongest because I made a character that puts herself through hell. So that is a 10 total.
Okay, you add another blues on, that. You want blues. Blues is good. It sounds like a bad thing. It's a good thing. Valentine, we come back to the present day as you watch this wedding couple dance into the night as they look happy, sincerely happy. And as you remember those scenes that we just went through, there was the tinge of sadness, but a smile for genuine joy. Jackie's heading off back to the ship, I think, to get some ID.
No, Jackie is going over to Valentine.
Valentine, okay, walking up
to
you.
I was going over to Valentine, like, boss! Like,
I think Valentine's like, not boss, don't use the B word.
That's part of the story. And then I lean in and I go, you proper abandoned me back there. Yeah, thanks a lot for that, by the way. It's all right, I handled it. It's just fine, but you know.
Oh God, what did you do?
I continued the story. You said we're here to, you know, load up something. That's what I said. McCormick, we need ID for McCormick. I was gonna steal his, but do you see, like, literally whispers on the slight pause of her breath the word badge, because you know that's a forbidden word now. But you know, it's already gone. Actually, I looked around the floor, couldn't see it anyway. Must have dropped it.
Valentine just touches the communication device and says, "What's the name of the person on the ship again?"
Everdell,
and she's like, "Everdell, I'm guessing you got all of that."
Oh, I've been listening to every single word that you've been saying this whole time. This is fucking brilliant. I mean, I'm having a ball. I hope you're all enjoying yourselves out there.
Yep.
Yeah, having a great time. Thanks.
No need to shout, Jackie.
All right. Yeah, we're going to need... Well, you know, we'll see in a bit.
Well, I think Baron's on it. I think you're fine.
Oh, great. Okay, great.
Oh, nice of him to let us know, eh? Huh?
As Jackie began walking to Valentine, Baron kind of sighed as though that adrenaline dropped, like they didn't get arrested or anything right then. And as they moved around what they were leaning against, the moment they were out of sight, a whole house of cards collapse, and his hands on his knees, he's kind of panting, his breath is getting quick. He looks at his hands and they're shaky, and he's, bring it together. Not today. Not today. And he like pops something in front of one of his noses. Okay. All right. Not today. And then just walks out as cool as a cucumber.
Can I get you to roll me a grit check, though?
I can. Gorgeous. 11 plus 2.
Okay, you are going to take a blues for that, though, just if you're feeling you're on the edge.
Do you have to roll a 12 to avoid the blues?
No, you need to fail. So essentially, you need to like fail the roll.
Okay.
So it sounds like it's the opposite way that it should be, because blues sounds bad, but blues is a good thing for the mechanics of the game.
Good, good, good.
Jackie's completely oblivious, but Kat is mind blown at all of this.
So Baron, you walk out as though nothing has happened.
Perfect. And I have McCormick ID on me, or like a forgery at least. I'll walk up to that very friendly guard. Sir, I believe one of my apprentices came up. You were looking for identification?
Oh, yes. Name?
McCormick? Do you smoke?
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, here you go.
Oh, thank you very much. And we'll, like, not quite yet, but thank you. And we'll pop it into this top pocket. McCormick, yes. ID?
Oh, right here. And he'll enter into almost magician tricks, like slight little distractive speaking techniques. Like, oh, it sure is colder out here today, isn't it? Oh, look at that shirt. Like, just kind of distracting him while he's checking everything a little bit.
That all seems in order. Yes, absolutely. Enjoy your pickup. Are your colleagues joining?
Not if I can help it, right?
yeah. New folk on job. You can't tell me twice about it. Like, you should see some of the young guys that are in here.
Oh, I bet they'll learn in time. Like, life will make them, hopefully, or we will.
Yeah, strong wind will blow them over.
And what was your name, sir? Sorry about that.
I'm Peter.
Peter, good to meet you.
Yeah, lovely meet you too. What was your name?
McCormick, Mr. McCormick.
Oh, of course, you are McCormick. Absolutely. Well, enjoy. Thank you for the smoke.
Perfect. As he turns, his whole face just drops any, like, friendly visage as he starts walking back to the crew. We're all good. Great job, Jackie.
Does he look like he means it?
Well, does Baron look like they mean it, or is this just the usual facial expression that Jackie's used to with Baron?
Usual facial expression. If he's making a joke, it looks like he's not even aware.
Thanks. Yeah. All right, Jackie is now back. Jackie's now back in it. Jackie's like, okay, yeah, all right. Had a little bit of a shaky start, but I'm gonna go back. So now I think she makes a concerted effort to kind of lower her voice and lower her excitement and just try to be like, okay, yeah, cool. I'm back in there with a chance of impressing these people.
Oh, look, a wedding.
Yeah, very sweet.
Okay. Do you all head in together then?
Yeah.
I believe so.
I think so. They kind of know that we're together.
Yeah. Perfect. You make your way into the steel claw loading bay. This is a grimy industrial space. Very much like the opposite of the flashy neon signs of the casino outside. You have dimly lit flickering overhead lights. You smell machine oil, stale smoke, and you hear the hum of machinery as forklifts move and lift up pallets or containers. There are cargo containers forming narrow winding paths through the bay. There's shadowy nooks, tight spaces, perfect for hiding in or getting ambushed in. Each container stamped with kind of rusting logos from various corporations, some of them that you may have robbed in the past, others are defaced by graffiti. There's security cameras, many of them older models, like slowly swiveling back and right, bolted high onto like poles from the ground. You see the blinking red lights that are casting a glow onto the ground below. But you wander in, as though you're meant to be here. You're looking for one very specific container, marked for DeRosa.
I think Baron's whole physique is going to man spread. He'll suddenly like thicken out and lower a little bit, start bumping into things, grunting a little louder, like just taking up more space. Even undoes his collar to look a little more industrial working class. Because he's thinking, I will run interference if anyone comes to interrupt and leave them more to do the individual searching. Would rather not have Jackie talk to anyone in here.
Okay. You get a message from Everdell just saying,
great job, guys. I'm impressed. There seems to be 6 guards on duty. So, I mean, either avoid them, take them down, or talk your way through. I guess you're all very adept at all 3 of those things.
Do our guns have silencers?
Let's get you to roll me a savvy roll to see if you've been able to fashion a silencer for your guns.
That's not great. 7.
Unfortunately not. You could possibly get like a dampener that will give you one silent shot. So like a plastic bottle over the nozzle that will allow it to dampen slightly. But that's as far as it would go.
Ever, can you see the entrance of where we are? Like the front door?
I'm watching you right now. Wave to the camera. Right.
Perfect. Is there anyone else walking around we don't see in this room, or is this where the 6 are?
Well, it's this large warehouse space. I can see 4 of them, but there's definitely 6 on shift.
Beautiful. Right, Valentine, what are we telling them when they ask?
Do we have any reason to come up with something other than what we told the first guy?
I think we told the first guy we were dropping something off.
Ah, good point. Okay.
Jackie did, at least.
In which case, we tell these guys that we are picking something up. Can I roll for a good like alibi?
If you would like to, you can do another savvy roll and see if you can think of something that would be useful in this situation to say that you're picking up, instead of dropping off.
Ooh, 11 plus 2, plus 1, 12.
Okay, I would say that in this moment that you would be able to convince them that you were dropping off either a set of valuable documents, which may include kind of high-level bureaucracy that might be beyond them. And so you could talk them that way. Or a big old bag of money, and they might get some if you just let them through.
I don't know if we have a big bag of money. Unless, do we? I mean, I'm opening this out to everybody because my mind has gone blank.
You probably wouldn't, so it would be a convincing situation.
Cool.
And Jackie's our best convincer, if I understand correctly.
Well, I feel like it should definitely be like a taking it in turns thing. I don't want to hog the spotlight, you know? So...
Yeah, I'll message over there and call him just Everdell going,
guys, make a decision.
I'll go to whoever looks like the foreman, again, offer a smoke and start like a discussion. Yeah, we're just here to get some things. They've got the paperwork, but do you think it'd be better to look on this side of the room versus that? Like, again, just try to throw too much at him at once for him to be suspicious of any one thing.
You're looking for McCormick, you said.
That's right.
Probably on the right-hand side of the room. Like it's all usually done in reverse alphabetical order.
Oh, great to know. Do you smoke?
Oh, who doesn't?
Yeah, look at these things. They're beautiful. They're dyed blue in the oceans of Nevermore.
Wow. What do these do?
Oh, it's just nicotine, but they look real cool.
Yeah, it does look good. It does look good. Yeah. I'll tell the rest of the boys that it's something a bit special. pops it away. In that time, you would definitely be able to pass messages over to the other two that you're looking for reverse order, alphabetical.
Mm-hmm. Perfect. Yeah. I think I'm happy to sneak along with Jackie to keep an eye out. I think Valentine recognises that there is something in Jackie's kind of naive charm that may make it easier to pass through any unwanted encounters.
Yeah. I'm an open-hearted person.
Okay, tell me what you're doing exactly then.
So if the room is... If we just imagine it's a big square warehouse, mm-hmm. and then we kind of know which end we want to be at because it's De La Rosa. That's what I'm guessing. It's starting with the D, yeah. De Rosa. Mm-hmm. So then maybe if we split that kind of chunk in half, so maybe I'm walking like one third of the way down and Jackie might be the two thirds, or I don't know. How does that sound?
Yeah, that sounds good to me.
Okay, split up the group. Perfect, exactly what you want in a heist. You have Baron speaking to the foreman. At this point, Jackie and Valentine starting to walk down one side. Valentine, you stop one third of the way down and Jackie continues on another two thirds. Can I get both of you, please, Jackie and Valentine, to make me observation rolls? So this is 2d8, but no modifier.
2d6.
2d6, sorry, yes.
Yep. 7.
5.
Okay. You do see that these containers are going in reverse alphabetical order as the foreman told Baron. And you're able to watch that. And that all makes sense. You do get a message over the intercom though, and this is just coming to Baron from Everdell saying, I'm
getting weird signals on the radar. Almost like it's frozen or something. Anything strange at your end?
Sorry, it's just the ship. No, everything seems good on our end. Met some real friendly guys in here, just sharing a smoke while the others are looking for the file.
He smiles back at you.
Yeah, anything incoming or outgoing to the hangar bay is completely offline for me. This is odd, and... only one of these channels is working now. Are you all in the same frequency?
We should be. I'd say it might be smart to, keep the coffee warm in case we need to get out of here quick with a pick-me-up.
Yeah, it's always on the hob. Okay, this is making me nervous.
Same.
This is odd. You can see the other two?
I think I can see Valentine, maybe through the shelves.
And Jackie at this point would be out of your view.
Oh no.
I can't see Jackie.
Okay, can you get closer? Like, leaving them alone on their first job is probably... This is making me nervous, man.
Oh, no problem. The foreman here is super helpful. I'll go find the rookie. They always get lost. What was your name again? Great to meet you.
It doesn't have a chance to say his name back as you just say great to meet you and walk off. and the last thing you hear from Everdell is...
I know I can always trust you.
I unclick my gun holster but leave it in. I just take the leather strap off, basically, in my coat.
Okay. Valentine, you are looking at the different containers... Mm-hmm. And you're probably at around T in the alphabet. Okay. So like one third of the way through, which is exactly where you hoped you would be at this point. It's quiet. You were told there should be 6 members of staff. You've only seen the one. That foreman that Baron was speaking to.
Okay. I think I would want to look around or keep my wits about me.
Okay. Could I get you, please, then, to make me a savvy roll?
Mm-hmm. 8.
Okay. You look around and try to see anything out of the ordinary, and you notice that the cameras have stopped moving.
Where are they pointed?
They were rotating.
Uh-huh.
But they're now they're kind just of facing the wall.
The wall. They're not facing me, they're facing the wall.
Mm-hmm.
Oh boy. I didn't think there could be anything worse than the cameras just focused on me, but that might be worse. Okay. And I'm in T, so I'm not what I want to be either. I think I'm going to swiftly try and make my way towards Jackie in that case, just in case she hasn't noticed that some shit is probably about to go down.
Jackie, further ahead.
Mm-hmm.
The lights go off.
Oh, all right. Okay. So that obviously would draw me away from looking at what I'm looking for, DeRosa. I look back. I want to see if I do notice anything or hear anything, especially if the lights have gone off. I'll be listening to see if I hear any steps coming towards me or anything like that.
Yep. Would you like to make me an observation roll, please, but make it against the odds because you're in the dark?
Yes, I'm in the dark.
Was this the lights in the entire warehouse or just the section?
In the Jackie? Segment that Jackie's in.
So I rolled 2 6s and a 5. So that's
you got an 11.
And a 5. And yeah, an 11.
Okay. You hear footsteps.
I pull out my... I haven't heard anything in my ear, I guess.
No, it's strangely quiet.
I'm pulling out my my wrench. I'm pulling it out. I'm getting ready.
Okay, you have a wrench to hand.
Yep.
You hear footsteps. They're not coming towards you. They seem to be heading further down into the space.
Okay. Do they seem to be coming from the direction that I knew that Valentine was? Are they going towards Valentine?
They're going in the direction you would hope to be heading. Which was not from where Valentine was, but you are hearing that these footsteps are heading further up the alphabet.
Baron, okay.
You get an intercom message that's just like...
Incoming, there's a new ship arriving in the loading bay.
Mm-hmm.
How many ships does the bay usually hold?
It's pretty full. I think there's only maybe about 2 or 3 docking points available right now.
Alright. Things feel off. I'd be ready. Some lights just went off around Jackie, so I'm going to go try to get eyes on.
Wait. Is that...
And then the line cuts.
Did we all hear that? Or
no,
did...
just...
No, Baron. Just Baron. Oh!
Oh, okay. I'm going after this figure. Yeah, I'm going after this figure. This is my big chance. I don't, because here's Jackie's reasoning. It's not coming from the direction that Valentine was, and Baron doesn't strike her as a runner. As someone that like turns the lights off and just like runs. He's way too cool, calm, and collected for that. Mm-hmm. Like, and would be like adhering to the plan and. So I feel like this person feels like a new person to her. Yeah.
Okay. Absolutely. Can I get you to make me a muscle roll to like make yourself a like running after this figure that you don't know where they are, but it's somewhere ahead of you.
Okay. I think my muscle is. Let me just check my character sheet. I think my muscle is 0. That sounds right. That's a 7.
Okay. You start to run in the darkness and manage to hit your head against like a stacking frame of shelving. So I would like you to mark 1 point off of your heart, please, as you feel concussed in this moment. Everything starts to spin. Valentine, can you please make me a grit roll?
So 7 on the dice plus 2 for 8.
You smell something familiar. Something that floods memories back. Is that real? Is that here? We flashback. It's the end of a quite high stakes mission. Not quite as high stakes as the one you're currently in. But you are stood at a kind of shopping mall at one of those kind of perfume stalls. And the lady behind the counter is spraying samples of various different types of cologne or aftershave. And Oscar's like, "This one? What do you think?" And will hold up his wrist towards you.
Yeah, I like that. I think it kind of suits you.
Like it. I want something more than... No, give me something better. And we'll turn to the woman again. Something will make her say, "I love it." And you see as she gets flustered and say, this is a very expensive one. And it's like, "I don't really give a fuck about the money, just as long as it smells good." And we'll hold his other wrist up, spray, and then turn towards you. Love it?
I think it literally doesn't matter what it smells like. I think she just wants to say, "I love it."
Perfect. This is perfect. You're perfect. And you, my dear, selling me this fantastic cologne, you're great too. I'll take two bottles.
In a sort of like, you know, almost like a stage whisper, she goes, "Oscar." Like, just in case he is here. And I don't know, she can get him the core, they can run away, something, just in case. Even if, you know, it puts her a greater risk in the moment, it's worth the risk to know if it's really him.
Okay. You stage whisper, "Oscar." Jackie, you hear footsteps stop.
Oh.
And then continue again. These things happen at the same time, but neither of you know what's going on. Baron, what are you doing right now?
I think I was walking towards Jackie, but once the radio cut out, that is a much more something definitely feels wrong versus something is going wrong. So instead of getting lost in the dark, I'm going to turn back to the foreman and start walking up to him. Be like, "Did you have that McCormick with a C or with a K?"
Oh.
And my baton will drop from my sleeve and I'm going to hit him in the back of the skull.
Okay, ooh, perfect. If you could make me an attack and roll, please. So that is going to be 3d6 plus muscle.
Muscle. I have a 0 for muscle. Not bad, not bad. 5, 4, 4 plus 0. So that's a 9 either way.
Okay, so 5 plus 4, or what you could do here is you choose 2 dice that will be your attack roll to try and hit essentially their armor, and you take the other dice as the amount of damage you do. So how would you like to?
Oh, wonderful. Then I'll take the 5, 4 to hit, and then the second 4 for damage.
Okay, you crack this man's skull. He's not dead, but you've cracked his skull.
If I could hit him again, Yeah. I can stomp if I have to. It's more in his head. It's like, if there's more coming, we don't want to leave one behind ourselves. But you see, if anyone was there, his hands would be shaking far more than they do when he tends to cave in a random person's skull.
Yeah, this is a trivial attack, so it hits automatically. But if you could roll me 2d6.
Oh, please. Another 4. Both of them were 2s.
So you would use two additional damage, but this is just a foreman at there's Loring Bay. He's gone. You knock him out quietly.
I'll pull the cigarette out of his pocket, put it back in my pack, and then I definitely won't run like Jackie said, because no one looks cool running. But I'll grab his keys and then I will begin walking towards where I hope they are.
Okay, amazing. Jackie, you're up ahead. You heard those footsteps stop and then continue. Yep.
I'm a little disorientated. Like, I'm a little, like, dizzy. Did I hear the stage whisper?
No, I don't think you would in this moment.
Okay. I am going to whisper out loud. Hey, wait!
Okay.
Yeah.
Can you... No, you're not going to make a roll here, actually. You're just going to hear the cocking of a gun.
Okay. Could I tell roughly, like, where they were in front of me?
From that noise, maybe about 20 feet ahead.
Okay. I feel like I want to just go and attack them, you know? I feel like I just need to just go and do it. Here's the thing. Jackie is very on edge. Jackie does not want this to go wrong. And she feels like whoever this person is about to, like, if this is one of, she's been in a situation like this before where this could be one of her teammates, but they're going off plan, which means they might be about to betray the party, to betray the group in some way. And that is going to cost her this job, potentially, or sort of, like, could make things worse for her. Equally, she wants to impress them, and if this is another person going to do some shenanigans, then she's going to want to sort that out so she can be like, hey, look what I did. I think in this moment she hears, like, the cock of the gun, and she's like, whoever is around this corner does not have good intentions for me, is not my friend. I think she's gonna is there anything I can see around that I could just grab as like a that's in a box, like a piece of metal or something like that, I could just grab to kind of hold in front of me?
Make me an observation roll.
That's a 6 and a 4, that's a 10.
Yeah, so with a 10, you would be able to see that there's like a rubbish bin lid or like a garbage lid that you could pick up.
That's perfect. This sounds exactly like the uninitiated going, I can defend myself from bullets. She's going to grab that bin lid, and I think she's going to, like, basically attempt to rush around the corner and hit with the crew wrench.
Okay.
Very hard.
Can I get you to please make me an initiative roll, which means I need you to roll me a D3, so a D6, and then 1, 2, or 3 is 2. 2, 4, or 6.
Okay.
Plus your savvy.
So is it like 1 and 2 is 1, 3 and yeah. 4 is 2? Okay, yeah. Cool. Plus savvy.
Yeah.
6 I rolled. So that's a 3 plus 2.
Okay. The individual rolled a 1 plus a 1. So you are in charge in this moment. You are taking the lead.
Okay. I go around there and I charge them, and I'm going to whack them around the head with my crew wrench.
Okay, you're going to hit them around the head. Please make me a muscle roll, please, as you try to, like, hit them with this. But you're going to roll 3d6, please.
Okay.
Come on, Jackie.
Okay. I rolled a 6, a 3, and a 1.
Okay.
And then my muscle is 0, so...
Okay. For this to succeed, then, you would have to use a 6 and a 3.
Okay.
And that leaves you with 1 damage.
Okay.
Okay. So you rush around the corner, you're in the lead, and you kind of flail wildly into the darkness with this wrench.
Okay.
Where are you aiming?
I think, I'm aiming to basically, like, sock him in the jaw. That's where I'm aiming, yeah.
Okay. And with that, you do exactly that. As you come round, you kind of push the bin lid into the gun and then take this wrench and hit them straight across the jaw. You hear a kind of soft grunt and thud as you hear teeth crack, and then this person drops. They're on the floor, and as they hit the floor, a gunshot goes off. And everybody else hears that. So Baron and Valentine, you both hear a gunshot. In your ear, Baron, you just hear static, garbled messaging coming through. Everdell trying to say words, but they're not coming to you. I am going to get you, please, Jackie, to roll me a grit roll, please.
Okay. 2 + 6 + 1, 9.
9.
My math is getting better as we do this.
Okay. You are gonna, for a moment, have a small little flashback just to a younger brother saying, "Don't leave," as a bullet hits you in the shoulder, and you're gonna take one blues and lose one heart.
My hearts are dropping, everyone.
This game is wild because it's like one damage. Yeah, you've got no teeth now. You got shot.
You just hear like a groaning from the ground as the gunshot goes off. You hear an alarm start to blare. The darkness stays. Valentine, what are you doing right now?
So Valentine is also carrying a gun in the little, like, she's wearing this dress, it's got a slit down the side, and she's got a holster at the top of her, like, lingerie. You know how it goes. So she's got her hands on this little gun, and, you know, she's still... Is the smell still there? Can I still smell him?
It's growing stronger.
It's growing stronger? Oh my gosh, okay. Is it seeming to come from one direction or the other?
One specific direction, from the direction of where the gunshot...
Okay. Then I will run towards where the gunshot came from.
You run towards the gunshot. Baron, what are you doing?
Hearing the gunshot, I'm going to be moving more parallel to it in case anyone was trying to run from the sound to the door we entered from.
Okay.
But I have Pisces Rising out, which is my massive revolver that has a scope that a little bit of steam comes out of it. And I have my baton in my other hand. If I see anyone that's not my crewmates, I will shoot them.
At that moment, you see running round the corner two members of staff here at the loading bay who've heard the gunshot with guns in hand. They haven't seen you yet.
With my devil's right hand, I always roll upper hand with pistols.
Perfect.
So would it be one shot, two shot? Is it a I shoot then they shoot type of deal?
In this moment, we're going to roll initiative to see how that would work. So if I could also get you to roll me D3 plus savvy.
Perfect. That is a 1 + 1.
Okay, so they are going to go first. So I say that in this moment, you will get a chance to shoot one, then they'll shoot, and then you will come back.
Deal. And so I always roll upper hand with pistols. So that would be a 7 just on the dice alone, unless I add savvy. So that would be 8.
Yep, so that hits one of them. Where are you aiming?
Head.
Okay, headshot. Perfect. Roll your damage.
Perfect. And that is, you roll... So should I have rolled a fourth d6 if I'm rolling with the upper hand?
Yes, you should have rolled an extra d6, yeah.
A d6 I just rolled was a 3.
A 3 is a headshot, and this is, again, as a foreman. A worker here at this labour yard. So he runs around the corner with his pistol raised, and before he can even look at you, the bullet goes through his temple and out the other side, ricocheting off the wall.
Perfect. Note of where he dropped his gun.
It's like slid across the floor in your direction because of the momentum of him running in your direction. The other guy is going to swing round and see you, is going to take a shot at you. So he is going to roll one more die. He is going to roll a 9. So that will hit. And it's going to be 1 on the final die, so 1 heart, as he turns around and shoots you just in the upper thigh.
I grunt, but it's more out of anger that my cigarette got smashed in the process of it, and I take it.
Okay, before we come back to you having another goal, we're going to come back to Jackie. You've just been shot in the shoulder of a man on the floor that you can't see. What do you do?
I think Jackie is very disoriented at this point. She's hurt her head. she's got shot in the shoulder. She's probably very seeing that face has thrown her completely off guard. Even if it was just a momentary flashback, so I think she's gonna just sort of her breathing is gonna start to shorten, and she's gonna be her eyes are darting around. And she's going to start to step backwards away from this person, and probably she's going to leg it, I think. She's going to run, and she's going to just, eyes wide, just be like, shit, 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 and she's just going to bolt.
Okay, before you run, can you make my grit roll?
Yeah. That's a six.
Okay, with a six, you freeze. You think you want to run, but your legs will not take you.
She falls backwards, probably, because I feel like the top half of her body goes to go, but the bottom half doesn't.
You just hear a voice from the ground going, "Fucking piece of shit!" And gets up to its feet. And just starts to like fire wildly into the darkness with the gun. You're lying on the ground, and there are bullets heading your way. So, okay. So that will hit.
Yeah.
And you are going to take 4 heart damage.
Okay.
As a bullet hits you around your intestines.
I'm up, everyone. I'm still up. Yeah.
And the individual who shot will hear the air leave your body as you from the gunshot and start to move in your direction. Valentine, you're getting closer to the situation.
Can I see anything yet? I hear anything? What can I smell?
You have heard multiple gunshots cry out, both from in front and behind. You will imagine that Baron is locked in a gunfight right now, and ahead all you know is that Jackie is in the darkness. You have the smell, but that's all you know. And as you move forward, you just see the silhouette of a person moving towards another person, scrabbling on the floor, trying to move themselves backwards.
And I can't tell who is who.
Would you like to make an observation check?
Yeah. Six.
With a six, you can make out the smaller frame of Jackie on the floor.
And what about the person moving towards Jackie?
In the darkness. With a six, you're not quite able to make out who this is.
Oh my god. Okay.
You have a clear view.
To shoot, but what if it's Oscar? Valentine would never shoot if there's any possibility it could be him. So I think at this point she says it more loudly this time, but just, "Oscar, is that you?"
As you shout this, a head whips round. Jackie, you have a moment.
Oh, I think that Jackie is not hearing like what's going on around her, but she sees him turn away. She's going to pull the gun out and she's going to shoot.
Okay. Make me a roll, please. 3d6 plus your savvy, being smart and speedy in this moment.
6 and 5 plus 2.
Definitely hits. What's your final dice?
I'm so sorry. You said 3.
Oh, it's okay.
The other one was a 1. So, yeah. 5, 6, and 1 is what I rolled.
Again.
I have a 2 inside.
As this individual snaps their head to look at the voice that called out, you, hands slick with blood, like, move to the gun that you really don't like to use, aim it at this figure, and fire. And that's where we'll pick up next time.
Ah!
Oh!
Session 1, Echoes of an Outlaw, everyone.
Oh my goodness. You're good.
way to go, Jackie. This was going great.
Well, welcome back. I'm glad you came back to see me.
What was the point of anything that I did if it was going to end up like this?
It's the life we all chose, right?
He didn't choose it. He was born into it. And I didn't choose it. I was just stupid enough to love him.
Do you blame yourself for what happened to him?
Yeah, I do. I know that I could have given him a different life, a happier life, and I just didn't make it happen. I could have tried harder, shown him that it was the right thing for the both of us. I think I was too weak. I should have made him see what I saw.
What was that?
Just us together, happy, safe. You know, the kind of life that I had before all of this. Just regular jobs, regular house, maybe somewhere totally new, but still in that place, completely normal. That's all I really wanted.